Here is what you missed this morning on the Catholic Morning Show.
All right, let's go to our next guest. She is the spokesperson for Sophie Institute Press, Kristen Van Uden, back on the show. Hi, Kristen.
Good morning, John. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Whenever you come on, I normally buy the book instantaneously. I really enjoy the one I'm reading right now on heaven and hell, or excuse me, on heaven and purgatory. Is what I'm reading. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yep. That's Father Rotolo, right?
Yes, it is, and I'm reading it right
there
now, about halfway through, and I couldn't recommend it enough. It is excellent. So I have a feeling I'm going to be buying Psychology and the Cross here coming
up.
Yeah, you'll be
busy.
Yeah.
We have a stack of books.
Exactly. 1958, this one was put out. Tell me about Psychology and the Cross.
Yes, so this is a very interesting one. This is by Father G. Emmett Carter. And 1958, as readers or listeners might be aware, is really kind of the zenith of the psychology movement that is based on Freud's theories. So this is where almost everyone was going to psychotherapy. This is where Dr. Spock released his book about raising children that was based on new psychological theories. So really the kind of the craze for psychology had taken root, and Father Carter is trying to correct a lot of the more secular approaches with a more Catholic understanding. And of course, what secular psychology is missing that he supplies is an understanding of the human soul, because Freud, I'm pretty sure, was an atheist, and most psychology takes into account just this purely materialistic view of the human person, where you are a brain and you're affected by brain chemistry and by, of course, his theory of repression. And that really does not take into account, number one, sin, guilt, and how to expiate for that, and also our true destination as human beings, as being in heaven with God. So Father Carter wants to write a book that really tells the truth about human psychology and the fights back against this very incomplete vision that had been perpetuated at the time.
Yeah, it seems like he was kind of ahead of his time here, you know, especially with what we're battling today with so much mental illness and mental health awareness that is coming about.
Yes, and it's really interesting because on the Catholic Exchange podcast a couple of months ago, I interviewed a Catholic therapist, and it was great to get her perspective because even today, the industry seems to be almost hostile to faith as a whole. You'll hear sometimes that people who are Catholic who feel that they might need to see a psychologist or psychiatrist are in this strange position where the industry is telling them that their faith is part of the problem sometimes, where, oh, you're Catholics. Oh, yeah, that Catholic guilt. Am I right?
Right.
And we're just like, wait a second. No, like, we don't want to have our faith denied by these professionals. And so it seems that today a pretty healthy Catholic psychological industry has cropped up, but definitely ahead of his time for writing this in 1958.
Yeah, and you know, to be fair, it's gone the other way too. I mean, people say, well, just, you know, believe more or have more faith and everything will be healed too. You know, there's definitely a middle ground here, and the church has always, you know, promoted the middle ground on this. It's obviously can be easy to take it to the extremes, right?
Yes, exactly. On the other hand, we can't just pray away everything.
Right.
And Father Carter is very careful to define that, yes, there are certain conditions that are medical and that are psychological rather than sicknesses of the soul, and that this is something you really get from reading exorcists as well.
I was just going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's very clear in those cases where they'll even hire psychologists and doctors to examine the person to really, they're almost hoping it's that because it's very rare to have a full-on case of possession, but they recognize that these are two separate things that can manifest with the same symptoms, but that ultimately sometimes it is spiritual, but sometimes it is medical.
Yeah, I'm friends with an exorcist, and he goes to some of the worst of the worst cases in English speaking countries. So he's very close with Pope Francis himself. And I asked him, I said, how many of those cases, you know, are psychological more in nature than they are actually demonic possession? He said, easily over 9 out of 10. over 9 out of 10, he said. So, I mean, there's extreme psychological, you know, the testing that they will put people through that that might have that. But yeah, I mean, so it's the church and psychology is not certainly against this whatsoever. But at the same time, you know, the church and our Lord has a voice in this. All right. So the relationship, what does Father say is the relationship between sin, when we talk about really sin, especially original sin, and psychological pain and disorders?
Well, a lot of times when, and for some of these more low-grade feelings that might manifest or spiral into an illness, he discusses how a proper way and route to deal with guilt needs to be addressed, and how secular psychology does not really provide this, where it explains it away through your background, or it tries to affirm anything that you do, including sins, whereas we need to really reckon with the existence of guilt, and obviously the sacrament of confession is the way to do away with it and to expiate for that. And so that sin can cause suffering. We know that the wages of sin are death, and that includes psychological suffering and spiritual suffering that has psychological, you know, symptoms as well. And so that is the one main difference that that he highlights between the secular psychology that obviously doesn't recognize that sin exists. And then the other thing is the acceptance of suffering. So, of course, as Catholics know that suffering, as you know from reading the Purgatory book, can be redemptive, and that we must accept suffering either here or in the next life. We don't want to go overboard and be, you know, like a flagellant, like in the Middle Ages, but suffering that comes your way, as we know, Jesus tells us we have to carry our cross to follow him. And so this is another thing that modern, and even modern psychology in the 1950s, completely denied it. It's predicated on this complete avoidance of suffering, and how suffering is the worst possible thing that can happen. So he first of all just wants all of his readers to understand that the acceptance of the realities of sin and suffering are two things that really put the Catholic at an advantage for understanding psychological disorders, and to know when suffering has kind of hit that point where it's too much versus what can be offered up.
Do you ever read a book from Sophia Institute that you guys are about to maybe publish, or you're going to bring back, and you're like, eh, no, don't do it?
Yeah.
Does that happen to Kristen?
I don't.
Be honest. Be honest.
There might be a few, but the authors are totally not around anymore, so I have nothing bad to say.
But you have a say in this, right? I mean, you're the one that's a spokesperson for all of these books that you guys are bringing back, which I love that you do, by the way. I mean, so a lot of these you just can be completely forgotten about, and so you guys have a way of kind of bringing a lot of this back.
Yeah, I mean, I've suggested a couple of reprints, but I don't have a huge hand in that.
What's the one you've suggested that you really think?
They haven't hit yet, but I suggested one on angels.
Ooh.
So it's a book by an Irish priest, and I'm not sure if we'll be able to do it.
Where do you find them?
I find a lot of them on archive.org. You'd be surprised. They would put us out of business, so don't
really?
Go there.
But really?
They have a lot of scans of old library books and just really forgotten.
So you just read them online?
Yeah, I don't really like reading online, but they're good for reference points, because if you just need to read a couple pages, then, like, I used that one for an article the other day.
How many books will you read? How many books will you read in 2023?
Probably around 50.
50? Okay. That's my goal.
I did my 2022 roundup. I always like do a post at the end of the year, stacked up all the books that I read. And it was pretty good. It was probably my best year yet because, you know, I'm on a schedule. Now.
Right. Right. What's the number one book you would recommend? I'm going to write this down because I'm going to read it. I'm four in so far. I'm four for 2023. So I'm going for 50. What's the one book I got to read from 2022?
From 2022?
Yep.
It's probably one that we talked about already, because we've talked about most of the good ones.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's think about this one. I would say that The Diary of St. Gemma, probably my favorite.
Really?
2022. Yeah.
Okay. The Diary of St. Gemma. I'm going to put it on the list. Okay. All right. All right, Kristen, you're always welcome on the show. You do a great job. You know that. I really appreciate you coming on and recommending these books as well. Where can people get these books that you recommend?
As always, directly available on our website, which is sophiainstitute.com.
Yes, sophiainstitute.com. You can also go to Divine Treasures. If they don't have it there, they will certainly order it for you. The book we are highlighting this month is Psychology and the Cross. Kristen, thanks for coming on. God bless you.
Thank you, John. Take care.
All right. She's Kristen Van Uden, everyone.
Listen to the Catholic Morning Show weekday mornings at 7 on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network, iowacatholicradio.com, or the Iowa Catholic Radio app.